Good morning.
Good morning.
That was awesome. That was great.
All right, did y'all hear the choir? That was the proper response. And we're going to give you a chance. One more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to work on that for next week. Welcome to College Park. Glad that you are here this morning. We welcome you to worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started today. We'd like to find out who is in worship. We ask members and guests. There are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite you to fill that out, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us any contact information you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We appreciate that. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning, that would help us very much. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used this morning, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Let me see. A couple of announcements. Today is our church-wide pool party. There is a forecast for thunderstorms and lightning this afternoon. It looks pretty likely that that's going to happen, but we will make a call. If it's thundering and lightning, don't come. But if it's sunny, come on. From 4 until 7, we're having a pool party at Town and Country Pool. We will eat hamburgers and hot dogs at 5:30. We'll be grilling those out. We ask everybody who comes to bring a side dish or a dessert. It'll be a great time together. If it is a rain out, we're going to put that on the youth site and the children's website. You can be able to and find that out at 3 o'clock. We'll have an updated information about that. And the makeup will be next Sunday, barring thunderstorms then. So we want you, but we're hoping that it will happen today from 4 until 7, a church-wide pool party. Mary.
We had a really, really good group and good discussion for our first meeting of the book club. If you did not get a chance to join us, I invite you to join us the next time. I will say there will be a daytime meeting this Thursday at 10 a.m. For the same book that we have discussed this past month, which is same kind of different as me. So if you didn't get a chance to come Monday night, you'd still like to come, you can do a daytime. We're going to meet Thursday morning. But our next book is a book by Karen Kingsbury. It is a fiction book this time, and it's called Between Sundays. And so I invite you to join us for that. I have not checked availability in town for that book, but if you get with me, I can get a copy for you and let you know how much that will be. So I invite you to join us, and I look forward to getting to discuss with you.
A couple other announcements we'll make you'll find in the bulletin. The Boy Scout Car Wash fundraiser is postponed. So that's the third item there. Want to make sure that is postponed, and we will give you a new date very soon about that. Several things listed, but we're going to make sure that you just see those upcoming events and opportunities for the week. And I think that is it. Any other announcements? We're good. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're so blessed with your presence today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles that we would like to give something to you. A few moments ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad, and we're certainly thankful for that. If you're a guest, we ask that you just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a little bit of the history of our congregation and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for your presence this day, and we pray God's blessings would be on you throughout this worship service. Is it good to be together? It is. It is good to be together. And something that that I know I take for granted too often. Sometimes we fail to see all the miracles that God has in our lives. And this week, has he done something in your life that maybe you didn't think was a miracle? Maybe a changed heart. Maybe a kind word. What has God done in your life this week? He's given us breath. He's given us purpose. He's given us something to do a place to be. Ultimately, he gives us himself. That's the greatest miracle of all, isn't it? Because some days that's all we've got. That's all we can rely on, is that he is God, and he is our Savior, and he walks with us. That's why we worship. Not for the stuff that he gives us, but for who he is. So this morning, as we come to a time of worship, are you ready to hear from your Savior? Are you ready to worship him in spirit and truth? Let's worship together. Pray with me. Great are you, Lord. That is our cry this morning. You are worthy to be praised for who you are. You are perfect. You are holy. You are merciful. You are gracious. You cleanse us from our sin. You forgive us. God, you are, and for no other reason, we worship. You are great. Be in this place, we pray. May everything done in this worship service be done to glorify your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. invite all the kids. Come on down. Can y'all back up just a little bit for me? Back up just a little bit. All right, we'll wait for Christian. Come on, man. All right, how's everybody this morning? Everybody's good? Okay, I've got something really exciting this morning. Are you ready? One of my favorite things are Frosties from Wendy's. Do you like Frosties? Or do you like milkshakes? I have everything we need to make Frosties. Are you ready? Are you want to make Frosties? Okay, so one of the most important things, we got milk, right? That's important, right? Okay, that's important. We got our cups, right? We got cups. This is sort of important, okay? Unless you're going to eat the whole thing. That's really important, okay? Then we have like a mixing bowl, right? Is that kind of important? Yeah, we could kind of use that. Okay, I have a rolling pin. That's really important, right? For make milkshakes, right? Okay, all right. We'll put that over here. You sure we don't need that? Okay, I got an onion, okay? It's a sweet onion. It's a Valdez. It's a sweet onion. Can't we use that to make a Frosty? You can? Okay, good. See? All right, good. All right. Here's some hand lotion. But it's scented. It's watermelon ice. Does that not? It smells. And look, it looks like a Frosty. Look, doesn't that work? I'm gonna put that in there. We got the onion in there. I'm gonna put the rolling pin in there, and we got the cups in there. Okay. All right. Oh, this is really important. Yeah. Didn't this make a milkshake? Catch the milkshake on fire. Okay, all right. What about, this is important, right? Okay. So, with all this stuff, can I make a milkshake?
No!
Why can't you make one with an onion? So, there are certain things. So, you could melt the ice cream with the lighter, couldn't you? And then, so that's not really a milkshake, is it? Oh, so you mean all this stuff doesn't work to make a milkshake? Okay, the bowl may work. What about, that's it? Well, I don't understand. Well, so you mean if I'm going to make a milkshake, there are certain things that I have to have. Ice cream. Real ice cream, and I got a scoop and maybe some milk, not all this other stuff. Let me ask you this question. Are there certain things that God wants you to do? Tell me some things that God wants you to do. Okay, be good. Learn how to make a real milkshake, okay, yeah. Which child is that? Be good. But sometimes, let's take example of being good. Is it easy to be good?
No.
Why? Why is it hard? But don't we have everything we need to be good? We have a brain. We have a heart. We have a mouth. But sometimes we don't use all those things for good, do we? But God gave you everything you needed, right? He gives you, but sometimes we choose not to. This morning, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about that very thing. How he gives all of us exactly what we need. But it's up to us whether we use them right. All these things, they're not really good for making a milkshake. They're good for other things. Well, the milk's pretty good and the ice scoop. But the rolling pin doesn't really work for a milkshake. And the bowl. You have been given everything that you need to do what God wants you to do. To love people, He gave you a heart. To say nice things, He gave you a mouth. To listen to your parents and your teachers, He gave you ears. He has given all of us everything we need. It's up to us what we do with them. Okay? Today, you will get a Frosty, but it will be at the end of church, okay? So come see me. And this is just for these children, okay? All right. And the choir, obviously, okay. Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you that you have given us everything we need for life. So often we use them the wrong way. Forgive us when we don't do the things you want us to do, when you've given us everything we need. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Shifting gears. For our scripture this morning, we've been reading the last few weeks in the book of Romans and the New Testament as we continue with the lectionary reading. Last week we were reading in Romans 8. I'm going to continue into Romans 9. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, as we hear the words of Paul writing to the church and to the Christians in Rome. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants and the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, what a beautiful lesson with the children this morning. It's tough for us to grasp sometimes that you have given us what we need. And that sometimes the solutions to our problems and your will for our life is right in front of us. And you've given us with your grace and mercy what we need each day. And Lord, my prayer for all of us this morning and this week, as we seek to be who you want us to be, is that we will eat of our daily bread that you give us and be nourished in Christ, so that we may be prepared to deal with whatever you have in front of us, whether it's a very difficult situation that we're dealing with, a troubled relationship, struggles at work or with family, health problems, some news that we're having a tough time dealing with, a job search, the loss of a loved one, or some other situation that has created uncertainty in our lives. My prayer this morning, Lord, is that we will be able to take your daily bread, to absorb it, that would strengthen our bodies and our minds and our hearts, that we may see clearly and communicate with you this week to feel the full nourishment of that daily bread so that we can be prepared to deal with what's in front of us. Lord, your love is so great we can't wrap our minds around it. We can't understand. And this morning, I pray for the strength in each of us this week to not just come to you with what we need and not just come to you with what we want, but to pray honestly and sincerely and truthfully that your will be done in our lives this week, because we know and trust that your plan is so great. And in our lives, we've witnessed so many times that what you had in store for us was better than what we had in store for ourselves. Lord, we pray that your will be done this week, as the daily bread that you give us is taken and eaten and nourished and lived out this week in your love. Lord, thank you for watching over us. Thank you for loving each person in this room the way that you do. Help us as we go this week in your name. Amen.
leads me to a distant land, and he showed his greatness and majesty. I was an empty cup, and he made me full, and he ordained me to do his will.
Oh my God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Let's give Him the praise.
Lift up your hands, all ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Romans 8:38 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." As we bring our offerings, we bring some of the gifts that God has blessed us with. Let's focus on that being a worship of the God that can never, ever leave us. When life is good and when life is bad, God is here. Let's pray. Holy Jesus, your love is infinite and wonderful and glorious. Father, forgive us for not falling on our knees and worshiping you with power every day. Lord Jesus, please accept our gifts and forgive us for our pride and arrogance and thinking that we're giving it to you. It all belongs to you to begin with. You are so good to us. Let us be a small reflection of that, and let our offerings be given in free worship of you. We praise you, Lord, and we are your servants. Amen.
our lectionary readings this morning have us in Matthew still. The last couple of weeks we've been there and talked about some parables. And today we're going to talk about God's math. And we're going to take a familiar story and kind of look at it just a little bit differently. And I want to invite you to read it with me. Even though it is familiar, let's read what Matthew's account of this story is. You'll recognize it pretty quickly as the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14. Beginning in verse 13. As verse 13 begins, it begins in the shadow of John the Baptist being beheaded, being killed. So it starts when Jesus heard what had happened in reference to John's death. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Let's pause there just for a minute. Jesus was grieving, no doubt. He had just heard what happened to John the Baptist. And you notice what happened. He retreated for a time just to retreat and to grieve a little bit. And when the people heard of this, that is the fact that he had retreated in a boat, when they heard of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. They could see him on the boat and probably figured out where he was going, so they're literally chasing him around. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. 5,000 men plus women and children. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, forgive us when we read your word and we read it just for the story value. Father, we pray that this morning we would take a story that is very familiar and look deeper to see what it is you want to teach us today. God, we pray that you would open our hearts, you would open our minds so that we can learn from your Holy Spirit as he guides and leads, directs and corrects our behaviors and our thoughts and our attitudes. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And now you know the rest of the story. What does that remind you of when I say those words? Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey had a radio show broadcast called The Rest of the Story. And each weekday for over 70 years in his radio show, that was kind of the end of the story. Now you know the rest of the story. And in this program, Paul Harvey told stories about things that were probably commonplace. It was kind of everybody knew kind of the subject matter, but he always had kind of a twist. He always had a little bit of a surprise in there, something unexpected that gave listeners kind of a new outlook, a new way to look at a story of common interest. So what about the rest of the story? We ask this question a lot in our society, don't we? We ask in different forms, but the most common expression of, you know, what about the rest of the story, we say is, well, what were they thinking? It's like, well, what information did they have that would possibly cause them to do that? And we wonder about people's behavior, thinking they must know something that we don't, or they must have experienced something that would explain their bizarre behavior, or that would explain the fact that we didn't get the joke or the story to begin with. We didn't experience it. So what about the rest of the story? I thought about this feeding of the 5,000. What about the rest of the story? What happened here that we don't know? What is the rest of the story? We want answers. We want to know, did it really happen just like this? We want to know how it happened. We want to know how Jesus managed to feed well over 5,000 people, probably three times that number at least, with five loaves of bread and two fish. Did he really take the loaves of bread and the fish and bless them and then literally just started multiplying right in front of them? How did he do that? Did the boy give the loaves and fish? And we know it was a little boy that gave it because John's gospel tells us that it was. So did he take that and then everybody else that was holding back their food, did they get ashamed and start giving it to? We don't know. We don't know. In this side of heaven, we won't know. But quite frankly, it doesn't matter for the sake of our understanding of knowing the miracle of God's math. You see, we want a footnote. We want a note right down here, a little commentary note that tells us, explains how this happened. What happened behind the scenes that allowed this miracle to take place? But all we have is a few verses. A few verses here from verses 13 through 21. That's it. That's the whole story. You can look in Mark. There's a few more little details. Luke, there's a little bit different twist. And like I say, John, in John's typical writing style, had more focused on personality. But basically what we've got is we have 5,000 people plus that needed to be fed. You know, we have two fish. We have five loaves of bread. We have skeptical disciples. And we have a calm, compassionate, hospitable, especially under the circumstances, Jesus. So let's replay the story. What do we know? Evening had come. It had been a hard day for Jesus. But in spite of all of that, he felt compassion and healed the people that just wouldn't seem to leave him alone. Evening had come, and there were thousands of people that were hungry. They needed to be fed. So the disciples offered Jesus what on the surface would go, that sounds like a pretty good plan. The disciples said, hey, send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. That seems reasonable, doesn't it? That's a good plan. Jesus, probably time to break this little revival meeting up. You know, send the people to where they can go get some supper. They were tired. They knew Jesus was tired. They knew he was grieving. Wanted a little bit of peace and quiet. But instead of following their recommendation, Jesus responded, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Huh. Boy, the story changes, doesn't it? But Lord, we don't have enough. Are you kidding me? It doesn't say that there, but I would suspect that maybe that was in another gospel that did. But you know, are you kidding me? Yeah, we don't have enough. We've got nothing but five loaves and two fish. And they took them from a little boy. And how in the world are we going to feed these people? How in the world are we? And that's a valid question. If we were in the disciples' place, we probably would have said, we don't have enough to feed ourselves. How in the world are we going to feed this mob? How are we going to do it, Jesus? But Jesus knew a teachable moment when he saw one. And regardless of their doubt and hesitation, Jesus told them, look, guys, bring me the loaves and the fish. And then he blessed them. And by God's mathematics, that was enough. Just as it was enough when God provided manna for the Israelites daily as they traveled to the promised land back in Exodus 16. Just as it was enough when Elisha, the prophet Elisha, had only 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain, and God provided enough food to feed 100 men and have some left over. That's in 2 Kings chapter 4. You see, this wasn't the first time that God had miraculously fed people. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Now remember, eating a meal in the first century was a little bit different from how we eat meals. It was a time that was about hospitality, it was about sharing, it was about fellowship. It was not stuffing your food down as fast as you can so you can get on with your to-do list. They actually enjoyed their meals together. And as I read verse 20, the abundance of the food that was left over is obviously noteworthy, but I find the previous statement to be just as striking. It says, all ate and were filled, satisfied, Several translations say it different ways. The bottom line is they were filled. They were satisfied by what they ate. And what was collected was abundance. Bread and fish were the main ingredients, kind of a basic meal in Jesus' day. Living around the Sea of Galilee, I mean, they were fishermen and, you know, you ate bread and fish. The meal that Jesus was enjoying there was certainly not like the banquets that we read at other places in the Gospels, but the people were still filled. They were satisfied. Their physical hunger was satisfied. They got what they needed. So imagine the amazement of the disciples as they passed around what started as a small amount of food and then just kept getting blessed and blessed. Can you imagine what they were experiencing? Can you imagine how they felt as they went around collecting the leftovers? And they had 12 baskets full. Can you imagine they sit there reflecting on, yeah, and we said, they ain't enough to eat. Yeah, we feel like geniuses. Yeah. You see, God's math was sufficient. God's math was enough to feed thousands of people. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And their response was, who, me? Talk to Peter. Peter, he's the man. He can help you work. You know, Jesus says, you give them something to eat. He did not say, tell you what, guys, because of the lack of food and time for a miracle, bring it on. Let me see what I can do here. That was not his initial response. He said, you give them something to eat. At least at the beginning, Jesus put the responsibility on the disciples to come up with a possible solution to feed this large, hungry crowd. And see, we sometimes assume that because it was a miracle performed by Jesus, we can't replicate it today. Now, are we going to be able to do what Jesus did exactly the way he did it? Well, the human side of me says probably not. But the spiritual side of me says, why not? Why not? We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we try to make the needs of others God's problem, when in reality, we have exactly what we need to take care of their needs. Amen? But we say, God, tell you what, that person over there obviously needs help, and I want to pray that you'd use somebody to take care of them. And God's saying, well, I'd kind of counted on that being you, but obviously you've got other plans. God, I just want to pray that you would help brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They have such severe need. Yeah, they sure do. We have what God gives us so that we can give a cup of cold water, that we can give a hot meal, that we can give a pair of shoes, that we can give a listening ear, that we can give a shoulder to cry on, that we can give a word of encouragement. We're discouraged from sharing our food or providing hospitality and giving of ourselves because we think that we don't have enough. We're like the disciples. When Jesus calls us to action, we say, but Lord, I don't have enough. And it seems we never do, do we? It doesn't matter what we have, it's never enough. And God shakes his head. We don't think we can make a difference. God's calling us to make a difference. Jesus said, you feed them. You take care of their needs. You satisfy their need. So what about the rest of the story? Well, we'll never really know what took place that day. This side of heaven, we'll probably never know the details of that, other than the fact that lives, that hearts, that perspectives were changed. And that may be the greatest miracle that happened that day. Lives were changed. Hearts were changed. Perspective was changed. We do know what comes next for Jesus and the disciples. As you read on, Jesus walks on the water in the next passage here. That's really wild. We do know what comes next for Jesus and the disciples, but we really have yet to hear the whole story because, you see, the rest of the story depends on us. How we want to fill in the blank depends on us. One person taking a leap of faith steps up into action. One person is willing to trust Jesus. One person believes that what he or she has is actually enough. And suddenly, a miracle happens and a crowd is fed. The needs of people are satisfied. So are we waiting for someone else to do something about the needs of those that we encounter? And how will we respond when Jesus looks at us and says, you give them something to eat? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it's so easy to read your word and let it kind of roll off our back and we go on about our week. God, we pray that you'd forgive us when we do that. And we ask that your spirit would trouble us, that it would tug at us, so that we can see what it is that you have for us to do this week. God, we pray that we would be willing to ask for the leadership of the Holy Spirit and then heed the words, the leading, the bidding from the Holy Spirit as we seek to be your hands and feet this week, to live out our faith in a real way, to live out our faith in a way that tells other people that we truly want to be used by God. Father, we know that spiritual needs are great. We know that physical needs are great. And we know that you care about both. We also know that you wish that we would care about both. So touch our hearts. Correct us. Restore us to full fellowship with you so we can be more attuned with seeing others through your eyes. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, that's step number one. That's the most important decision you'll make in your whole life. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, I'd love to tell you about a loving Savior who died for you and wants a personal relationship with you. If you want to come down front, I'll be here in just a moment when we sing. But if you don't, that's okay. Call me during the week. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but I really haven't been walking by the Spirit. And I just pray that God will use me this week in a way that's tangible and that I'll be cognizant of how he wants to use me, that I'll recognize when he wants to use me. That would be an appropriate response for our worship time today. If you're here this morning and say, I love this church. I want to be a quote, official member of it. There are ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, don't put God aside. Hear what he's saying to you and respond as he leads you to. For we ask you to stand up now and we're going to sing. What's the hymn, Mary? Let Your Heart Be Broken. As you sing the song, truly understand what the words are saying. Let your heart be broken before God and before man. Would you sing with us? to be seated for just a moment. I want to introduce to you Buddy and Nancy Priest. If you all could come join me up here. They've been a part of our fellowship, and they've been a part of holding that section down right back there for a year or so now, and they're coming to make it official. They are coming by transfer of letter from a sister fellowship here in the area. We'll just say it that way, okay? So if you will come by, well, first of all, if you will encourage them and love them and as we say, invite them out to eat, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, fantastic. I invite you to come by following the benediction and the response to greet them and extend a warm word of encouragement to them. Would you stand now for our benediction? Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings of today. We thank you for all that you've given us. God, you're a faithful God. And as we go from this place, we pray we would depend on you because you truly have given us all that we need. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.